Everyone's life is characterized by aspirations, hopes, longings. It is these aspirations, hopes, and longings that form the most powerful part of your life that you can call your own. Now, that doesn't mean that your whole life is mainly consisting of your aspirations, your longings, and your hopes. No. Because what happens in day-to-day life is that you are pressured by external influences. So, day after day, week after week, year after year, you're battling how to establish your aspirations, your desires, your hopes in a realm that's constantly working you over, pummeling you with things that you don't expect, you don't understand, you don't want. This is what characterizes the day-to-day struggle for existence. Internally, you have your hopes, your aspirations, your expectations, your longings, and externally, you're being pummeled, you're being constantly worked over by influences over which you have no control. So this characterizes our daily life. And there's always a struggle. How much can I realize my aspirations, my longings, my hopes, and how much will I be overrun by external influences? It's natural that in material consciousness, people hope that their aspirations will, as much as possible, be the world they have to operate in. The dream, if I were king for a day, if I were queen for the day. That means if the whole world around me consisted simply of my aspirations, my longings, my hopes, then it would be world peace. But as we all know, it doesn't work out like that. Krishna consciousness, via the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, teaches you some very important points. First of all, why is it that you live in a temporary material atmosphere, yet you have longings for pleasure without end? Seems to be a great contradiction, and it is. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness, we deal directly with this contradiction, this paradox. Why am I seeking that which has no end in a realm, in a dimension, where everything has a beginning and end? The fact that I'm longing for lasting happiness, lasting peace, gives you a very good indication that your natural condition is of never-ending happiness and peace. The problem, however, now is that we are in the illusory atmosphere of material existence. We're looking for water in the desert. Therefore, our inner aspirations, our inner longings, our inner hopes, they're frustrated. This is history. The bewildered living entities in this world fill pages and pages of history books simply about their frustrated longings and aspirations. It takes quite a bit of mind and sense control for you to spot your aspirations, your longings. Some are quite apparent, others are not, unless you really have the clarity and the circumstances for reflecting upon yourself. Most people have neither. If you look at the lifestyle of most people, you don't see they have clarity They're not fostering clarity in their life. In fact, they're doing everything to make themselves more bewildered. And secondly, look at the circumstances in which people are living. Such hectic, anxiety-filled lifestyles. No time to think. And it is true, most people don't want time to think. Most people don't want clarity. It's like people basically tell you in so many words. Don't try to give me the facts, my mind's already made up. Don't try to get me to understand anything. Whatever I need to know, I already know. And even if it's wrong, so what? Life has to go on. It's a very rude awakening for us when we understand that most people prefer the darkness of ignorance. They do not want to think. They don't want to understand their deepest aspirations and longings and why they have them. In this way, existence for most people is just robot-like, very mechanical. I'm sure you've caught yourself in that mode from time to time, acting like a machine. And I'm sure it very much disconcerted you, it upset you. What am I doing? I'm just like a machine. Day after day, I'm just grinding along. Is this all that there is? I'm sure you've all caught yourself at some point. Ask, why is it like this? And then you might have answered your own question. Well, that's life, you know. That's the best it's going to get. Who am I to long for anything better? It's just the way it is. I might as well just face it. So each generation produces a new generation of human beings who have no clue what to do. Not a clue. The parents don't mind. So what if you don't know who you are, dear? Just try to get a good salary. Make some money. And do what you are happy doing. Most of the time, that's the reaction. But here you have a situation in which people do not recognize their deepest, most fundamental longings and aspirations. Most of the time, they don't recognize. Yet they're acting all the time. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kaschit chanamapi jatu tishtap chikalamakrit. Every living entity has to act. No one can stop acting even for a moment. You cannot just be still in this world. There are energies buffeting you, pushing you. Have any of you ever tried to go somewhere and just be still for a long time? And how long would it last? 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes. In Thailand, I went to one famous Buddhist 10-day silent meditation retreat. I didn't stay for 10 days. I just see what the people were into. And mainly, they were youth from the UK, and they would, you know, it was exotic. You sign up for the 10-day silent retreat, which you don't say anything for 10 days. And you just sit in the meditation hall for hours, as much as you can, and just meditate on the incoming and outcoming breath. And you know your changes in mind that happen according to the different qualities of the breath. The whole breath. See if you can have that affects your mind. Short inhalation. See how that affects my mind. Thank you. So, for 10 days, it's supposed to be like that. So, the people who attend, it's like kind of a cool thing. The word is out. Yeah, this is what you do when you go to Thailand. You get back home in England, you have a 10-day shaman retreat. Everyone nods and says, wow. And what do all the young people do after they, a few hundred of them at a time for 10 days, after they leave the retreat, what do? They go to this, immediately go to this special party island in Thailand, Koh Phangan. And there, they just get blasted 24 hours a day and stay up all night partying. And just doing every kind of vice they can get their hands on. What are they used to? Forcing themselves to sit quiet for 10 days when you see what the real hankerings and aspirations are for. The Hare Krishna mantra is not a call for sitting still. It is a call for active, dynamic engagement in Krishna's service. It is a call for complete sensory connection with Krishna. You want that all your senses are used for the pleasure of the master of the senses. In this way, Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is very sensory oriented. In fact, bhakti yoga is about nothing else other than senses. Your senses and the senses of the Supreme, the senses of Krishna. When you are acting on the spiritual platform of bhakti, Krishna consciousness, your aspirations are finally fulfilled. Your deepest aspirations are for stability and pleasure without end, knowledge without end, relationships without end. That you can't find in this world. But you still have that hankering for such. That hankering is fulfilled in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that the individual soul is perfectly connected to the Supreme Soul. If you can understand this, you'll undergo some beautiful adjustments in your life, which will reduce significantly how much you're being buffeted around by the external forces of illusion. No decent human being should tolerate the lifestyle of just daily being buffeted. Social pressure, family pressure, national pressure, political pressure, economic pressure, the pressure of your own body and mind, peer pressure, beer pressure, on and on and on it goes. I'm sure some of you here have wondered, some of you here have lived a very straight life, very dutiful life. And what happens to such people when they reach their mid-40s, all of a sudden they go through a midlife crisis. Which, wait, why? Yeah, for decades now I've been doing the right thing, out of duty. Taking care of my social responsibilities, taking care of my family responsibilities. What's the point of it all? Hey, and soon I'm going to be old. Have I had all the fun that I really am entitled to? So, when that midlife crisis comes, often people do strange things. Married women suddenly just reject their own family after 20 years or so, 15 years of taking care of all their domestic responsibilities and raising their children. All of a sudden, they're 45 and say, wait a minute, so what if I'm dutiful? So what if I'm responsible? So what? They just flip out. Hey, I just gotta find my own meaning. Men also, they make a big job change, a big family change in their mid-40s. I've got gotta do something. I gotta do something before I get very old. I've gotta find my way. So in other words, the people suddenly just snap after years of routine. These snaps come because we haven't thought deeply. We haven't understood our fundamental aspirations and longings. We want eternality. We don't want things to come to an end. We also want pleasure, but we're frustrated. As soon as we try to directly be the enjoyer in this world, we're like beating our heads against the wall. You've all tried. I am going to enjoy something. It just never turns out the way you want. Isn't that so? Really start to assert yourself. I shall enjoy this. And it's just what results never matches your expectations. Even when sometimes you hear people say, oh, that movie was better than I thought it was going to be. Wow, that was great. You ever said that? Yeah? You ever said that? Wow, it was really brilliant. Go to a concert. Oh, it was better than I thought it was going to be. But what's the reality? It's over. It's over. But you derive pleasure out of just, wow, it was better than I thought it was going to be. Although the thing has ended. Krishna consciousness is meant to produce the deepest thinkers who are not afraid to confront their deepest aspirations and longings. Talking with our photographer friends here and trying to get them to take use their photography skills for capturing people's deepest aspirations and longings. So just by studying pictures of people, you can see where they're at. You can see how they're bewildering themselves. You can see they want something. They need something. What is it they want and need? They want love, however defined. They want to feel that they're unique and special and they're appreciated and cared for. But when you look for these things in the material world, again and again, you're frustrated. Finally, you get so accustomed to being frustrated, you don't even think about it anymore. Have you noticed that? Hey, it's just like, you know, every day in Manchester, it's gray and rainy. Presumably, every day you get frustration. Life has to go on, right? Yeah. It takes a special person to want to actively pursue an adjustment. I can't live like this. I've got to get to the bottom of the whole scene. Why do I have these longings for pleasure without end? Why do I have these longings for relationships that don't break? Why do I have these longings for satisfying knowledge? I got to get to the bottom of the situation. I've got to understand these aspirations and longings. Such persons can become Krishna conscious because they're inquisitive. The sign of an intelligent person is not an IQ test or which university degree you have. The sign of an intelligent person is, are you eager to inquire into what is real? What is not real? Are you eager to inquire into the Supreme Absolute Truth? Then we can see that you are intelligent by the questions you ask. If you want to have a first-hand experience of coming face-to-face with your aspirations and longings, then you just start to seriously chant the Hare Krishna mantra. By the power of the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll be able to see yourself clearly. You'll see the aspirations and desires that are shaping you from within, and you'll also see the pressures that are coming to you from without. Let's say I'd like to urge you all to please seriously get behind the Hare Krishna mantra. Let the mantra chanting sort your life out for you. No one generally likes to have someone else sort out your own life. But if you just push the Hare Krishna mantra forward and you follow behind, the Hare Krishna mantra will sort out your life. I invite every one of you to have that experience. Other than sound vibration, there's no way you're going to get out of material illusion. You have to cultivate the proper sound vibration in your life. It's not a question of whether you believe in Krishna or not. Do you believe? No, it's simply a question of, are your senses in contact with the Supreme Master of all the senses? That's all. Now, I agree, in Krishna consciousness, it takes a while for your mind to settle down. But when it does, that means you've achieved such a victory that you have a peaceful mind. It may take some time, though. But if you just humbly go about the exercises for training the mind, you'll be so happy. Once the mind is trained, then it easily is attracted to Krishna, because Krishna is the most beautiful. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you serve Krishna. Please keep these points in mind. The Hare Krishna mantra is waking us up from our ignorance. But we're a little bit hesitant because we don't know. If I give up my ignorance, what will I get in its place? Okay? If I give up my ignorance, then I'll have nothing. Better to possess ignorance than not to possess anything. And what does the world do for you? The world beckons to you. Come on, be ignorant like everyone else. Everyone's doing it, it's not so bad. Who are you to resist the trends of the whole world? No one is thinking so deeply. Why should you think so deeply? This is why Bhagavad Gita is so important. Bhagavad Gita is so important because it teaches people what is important. Bhagavad Gita teaches people what they should think about. Other than making money and trying to enjoy the body, most people don't have an idea what to think about. They need thinking help. And Bhagavad Gita gives that. This Krishna consciousness is the greatest gift for suffering humanity. Unless you know how to deal with people's deepest aspirations and longings, you won't be able to give them relief. You may solve their food problem, you may solve their clothing problem, or their shelter problem, but until their senses reconnect to Krishna, the master of all the senses, there'll be no real peace or fulfillment for people. My point in explaining all this to you is so that hopefully you'll understand Krishna consciousness is the most prime necessity. push aside everything else, but do not push aside your Krishna consciousness. Once you start to seriously chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll see the whole world becomes different. Why is that? Because the whole world, as you perceive it, depends on your consciousness. Because your consciousness changes for the better, therefore, your vision of the world changes for the better. You see everywhere opportunities for how to please Krishna. And you take those opportunities. That's the exciting life. Alright, any questions? I hope you all have been thinking about your deepest longings and aspirations. What are they actually about? You might say, oh well, I just want to finish school, or I just want to work at a job that fulfills me. You got to go deeper than that. You should try that. Why do you just want to finish school? Well, because I started it. What is underneath all that beginning and ending? You're hoping that what you've done at the university will automatically translate into a better life for you. What is a better life? Krishna conscious knowledge does not depend on material intelligence. Krishna conscious knowledge depends on devotion. Have you ever had friends or relatives who were very intelligent, it seems. They knew so many things, but they had no idea how to treat other persons. You ever had friends or relatives? Yes. It's like that sometimes. In order to deal with people properly, you have to have devotion. Similarly, in order to deal with Krishna, you must have the supreme devotion. You'll be able, as your purity increases, you'll be able to see how Krishna is inspiring everyone from within their heart. It's not that Krishna simply inspires the devotees. Krishna also inspires the non-devotees. As the super soul in the heart, the Lord does this. Through his expansion of the super soul. So let us keep in mind this desire to face our own hankerings and longings. Let's keep that in mind. And in this way, we'll understand that I would just seriously chant the Hare Krishna mantra, I could harness the power of my desires for doing so many people the highest good. Yes.
How can we become more enthusiastic?
By giving the pride of place. For chanting. That means by giving the best spot in your day for chanting. Everyone has to take rest at a certain time and get up at a certain time. If you take rest early, you can get up early. If you take rest late, you get up late. So, you're going to get your sleep somehow. Therefore, you might as well arrange your morning hours as much as possible around attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because in the age of Kali, Krishna comes as his name. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, the avatar, the incarnation of Krishna, is the holy name. Yes.
Can you tell us kind of techniques how to really concentrate on the only name that you can improve on somehow?
Well, first, chant in the morning. Secondly, make sure you have an atmosphere of non-distraction. And, as much as possible, try to chant your rounds carefully from beginning to end without stopping. You should be determined to taste the holy name. You should have the attitude, come what may, I'm going to get this taste. Krishna will give it to you in his time. It will happen. When? We can't say, but you should be determined. This is what I'm going to get. I'm sure you know the changes you have to make in your life to be a serious chanter of the holy name, right? Srila Prabhupada said that 90% of our spiritual advancement comes from chanting. So while you're here, let me hold that over a long time. Take advantage to focus on the holy name. Once you get the taste of chanting Hare Krishna, then you are safe. You're on safe ground. Up until then, Krishna consciousness can seem sometimes like a struggle. You've never been raised in a culture of mind and sense control. So therefore, sometimes we can lose our spiritual enthusiasm, become mechanical. What happiness?
For evidence.
Evidence?
I remember that we actually developed a general attraction.
What does Lord Chaitanya say? Chaito dharpana marjanam bhava-maha-dhava-nirvana. The first symptom that you're properly chanting Hare Krishna is that you'll be detached from the bodily perception of life. And your materialistic fever will go down. Okay? In this way, as you go on chanting, you'll taste exquisite spiritual varieties. So think about this deeply. Your deepest aspirations, your deepest desires. Are they all temporary and material, or do you have some desire, some hankering for the realm of spiritual existence and spiritual pleasure? The message of Bhagavad Gita, the genuine message of Bhagavad Gita, is to revive our connection to Krishna. Don't let anyone talk you out of this. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. This is actually the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to teach you how to revive your connection to Krishna. If you don't know that after reading a so-called Bhagavad Gita, then there's the proof you haven't seen your genuine Bhagavad Gita. Any more questions? your time. And anyone who would like to chat about anything, I'll be upstairs to the left. Always eager to meet everyone, hear how you're doing, your spiritual quest to satisfy Krishna's senses. So, whoever would like to talk, that includes our staff also. Please think about these things. I'm explaining to you the nectar of aspiration, the nectar of hankering and longing. That plays such a big role in our life. You know the power of longing and hankering for something. At the root, our hankerings and longings are based on our true identity as spirit soul, part of Krishna. What we're really hankering and longing for is pleasure without end. Pleasure that can't be frustrated by time. Knowledge that can't be frustrated by time. Material knowledge means what was true yesterday may not be true today. It certainly won't be true tomorrow. Things are only true in one phase of time. They're not true in all phases of time, past, present, and future. All right. Thank you very much. Krishna, just going to leave the care time. You want to say something? Okay, I'm